The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie rolling solo today. Joe off for the New Year's holiday. Austin is here behind the glass. Final hour before the PM team has you covered. And continuing a football Friday, we take a look at the other side of this matchup on Sunday night, game 272 of 272 on the NFL regular season slate, Steelers and Ravens for the AFC North title. The winner wins the division, gets to host a playoff game next weekend. The loser goes home with nothing. And the best person to give us a viewpoint from the other side is our guy Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. And Rob, I want to credit you. I mentioned this in my text to you yesterday. You called this way back in early December. You said, no matter how these next few games go or how we think they're going to go, these two teams are going to play with the division title on the line in Week 18, and we can talk again then. And here we are, Rob.
Here we are. I mean, isn't this how it's supposed to go, though? I also said on our show 2 weeks ago, if it comes down to that, it'll be the last game of the year because that's what the NFL wants. I'm not sitting here with a conspiracy theory saying the games were set up to be this, but I do mean that the NFL would love nothing more but for this to be the final regular season game of the year. Say what you want. I know about historic rivalries and of all that nature, the Bears and Packers, and more years, more history, but this is by far the best rivalry in the National Football League. And this is more proof. Look at all the other games that mean something in Week 18. But yet this is the game that the NFL chose to be the final game of the season. This is gold to them. This is TV gold to them, honestly. And I would have it no other way either with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, for years, it's been pretty easy to just toss at least one of these Steelers-Ravens matchups into primetime. So, hey, why not make it for the division title in Week 18. Can you believe, Rob, that this is the first time that in the final week of the regular season, it's a Steelers-Ravens matchup and it's for the division title with all the big games that we've seen over the last three decades?
Divisional rounds. I think we've even facing the wild card round. I know we're facing the AFC championship yep. game, and yet this is the first time we've done this. I heard someone say that, and I had to fact check. I'm like, no, that can't be right. And it is right. And just another feather in the cap of this rivalry. I'm pumped. I don't think I've been this pumped for a regular season game in quite some time.
What is the feeling?
Real quick, just to give you some reference, I'm in Atlanta for a basketball tournament with my basketball team, so I'm waiting on an Uber. I'm just letting you know that now.
Oh, okay. Well, safe travels with everything down there, Rob. What is the vibe that you have gotten from some Ravens fans this week going into the matchup? Because there are plenty of people in Pittsburgh that are you know, feeling apathy towards this whole thing. Like, who cares if they win, they'll lose in the playoffs. What's the feeling from Ravens country?
Excitement, but a lot of negativity. Negativity over what's the future of John Harbaugh. Negativity over Lamar Jackson being out with an injury and now back. Negativity over if he's healthy enough to help him or hurt him. There's a lot of questions with this game leading up to this game, which I'm not surprised because I know how Ravens fans are. The sky is always falling with us. The Ravens will go on, let's say this year, I'm not predicting it, but if they win the Super Bowl this year, you know, moments after they win, the question will be, well, what are they going to do next year? You know, you can't be, this team started off 1-5. And I don't think the fan base has gotten out of that 1-5 rut. And it's so many, this organization is almost at a crossroads. Mike Preston with an article that he wrote about Lamar. There's just a dark cloud over this team right now. I want to say team, not the organization. There's a dark cloud over this team right now. And I think a win Sunday and then, you know, with that home playoff game, I think M&T Bank Stadium will be electric, but there's still that dark cloud with so much uncertainty over what's next.
Okay, so I would say the feelings between the fan bases are pretty similar because we've certainly had some people fired up, excited for an AFC North championship game in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, but plenty of people who have either texted in, or they take place in the YouTube chat, or they call us and say, yeah, I'm not really excited because they could win this game, and then, you know, that's not going to lead to any change. Next week they'll get blown out anyway, so I guess the feelings are pretty similar, Rob, among the two fan bases. Where is the crossroads with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens right now? How much do you buy into some of the reports out there?
I don't. To be honest with you, I don't. I mean, Lamar Jackson falls asleep in meetings, or Lamar Jackson fell asleep in a meeting. Those are two different things, two different narratives. I don't. I'm with Marcus Spears. Where was this when the guy was winning two MVPs? You know what I mean? Where is this now? Where does this come from? I'm not doubting anybody's sources. I'm not that guy. I know Mike Preston. He contributes to the Big Bad Morning Show for Monday Morning Quarterback. I believe that he really has some sources. However, I question the motive of the sources. I question the timing of everything. For me, I want to see more. This to me is a nothing, is a big nothing for me. Let's win this game and go on from there.
Well, wasn't there a lot of chatter like that around the around the time he got his extension? You know, like, oh man, Lamar wants to be traded. He feels like he's done in Baltimore, and then you pay the guy, and you know, everything's hunky dory.
No, I mean, just Lamar is the most, in my opinion, the most polarizing Baltimore Raven that I can remember in franchise history. And as I said before, Lamar Jackson is different. So I think a lot of people can't take it. They can't take the Southern draw. They can't take the hair. They can't take that his mom negotiated his contract. They can't. There's just so many different things about Lamar, and people tend to be threatened by what's different. They can't accept what's different. They're threatened by, if you don't do it the way they've done it, then you're wrong. Well, he's hit a home run. His mom did negotiate his contract. She got him a no trade, no franchise tag. What agent is going to get him better than that? You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it. But to me, it just seems like because this guy does not, you know, walk by the beat of the same drum that everybody else has, he's instantly done it wrong. And I think that's a big problem with Lamar. He's not your classic, prototypical NFL quarterback in so many ways. When he first came, he's a running quarterback. He can't throw. Well, at one point, he hit the highest passer rating in NFL history, so he disproved that. And now, because he can't run, he's no longer effective. Well, if his legs are healthy enough to throw, Lamar can beat you with the arm. It just seems to be so much doubt with this young man. And the question is work ethic. How can you have a bad work ethic when you've gotten better every year? He's hurt. That happens. Injuries happen. But to me, the story does not match up to what I've seen. You know what I mean? The story has to pass the eye test. Just like he had to pass the eye test, the story does. All of those reports don't match up. And that don't mean crap to me, because name me a team where you had a franchise quarterback who didn't have a different set of rules. You tell me Ben Roethlisberger didn't have a different set of rules? You mean Aaron Rodgers, when he was winning MVP for Green Bay, he didn't have a different set of rules? I bet you they did. Troy Aikman didn't have a different set of rules. These guys, they have different sets of rules. And people who get upset about different sets of rules are people who never were good enough to have a different set of rules themselves. That's what this is to me. Again, I believe that Mike Preston really had references. He still really had some guys that gave him some information. What I question is the motive or the motives of the people who gave him the information.
Keeping Lamar Jackson as the subject of conversation here, the reports from Baltimore that he did practice today, the first time in 2 months, Rob, that he participated in a full week of practice, so he is all set to go for the AFC North title game Sunday night in Pittsburgh. What percentage would you say, if you had to put a number on it, how healthy is Lamar? What are we going to see on Sunday night from him?
He's probably the healthiest he's been in over a month, because he also practiced on Wednesday. We haven't seen that in a long time either. I don't think he's practiced on a Wednesday in over a month, to be quite honest with you. So he's probably the healthiest that he's been. Maybe that week off did him some good. If I give it a percentage, maybe 80-85%, but it's week 18. How many people are more than 80-85% right now?
Yeah.
You know, if you've been playing every week, to say, well, is he 100? If he's done 100%, he can't play. Well, that means nobody on the field should play, because nobody on that field is 100% right now. You don't play 17 games. You don't play 14 games in the National Football League and finish up in week 18 100%. I would give it 80-85% to play along with it, but my real answer would be, he's healthy enough to win this game on Sunday.
That was a higher number than what I was hoping you would say. I was hoping that number was more like 60 to 65%. So now,
you know why? Because you know he's a factor. And if he is 80 to 85%, you know that's a dangerous Lamar Jackson. It's funny that his opponents and the fans of his opponents are more afraid of him than the confidence level of his own fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's just like the self-loathing nature that some fans have with their teams or what it is. I mean, I was thinking earlier this week, like, okay, if Lamar's like 50 to 60%, you know, if they get a really dinged up version of this guy, then, you know, maybe he'd be prone to ad-libbing too much or making mistakes. But you're telling me 80 to 85%, that's as good as you're going to get in January of a football season. So, yeah, that changes the calculus a bit for me, Rob. I mean, that tells me they're getting a good player.
I only say that because he practiced on Wednesday, and that's been a long time since you even said it. He said a full week of practice. A guy that's hampered by injuries, that's a game-time decision, he's not going to a full week of practice. It tells me not only is he healthy, but this game means a lot to him as well.
How do the Ravens look otherwise on the injury report?
I think the majority of the guys that you would honestly say you need to go into this game are healthy. My question is the guys that weren't banged up in the first place. Can Marlon Humphrey do his job? Can Wiggins, you know, not get burned over the top? The good thing is there's no DK Metcalf to beat him on those go routes like he was doing a couple weeks ago. But I don't think health is an issue for the Baltimore Ravens going into this game.
I mean, that's got to be a great feeling for any football team going into Week 18, let alone a game that's for the division title.
It does, but I believe the Ravens have had one of the best rosters in the National Football League for the better part of 3 or 4 years. And that does not always produce wins in situations where I feel like they should win. They're 8-8. You tell me what about this team other than injuries that says they're an 8-8 football team. When they're healthy, I think they're one of the better rosters in the National Football League. Now, as much health, much confidence I have in the players, I don't have that same kind of confidence in the coaching staff. Will you see a situation where Derrick Henry is not in the game late in the fourth quarter and you tell me there was only 6 plays? Or will you see a situation where Derrick Henry is told to rock 30-plus times to prove to you that, you know, Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer who's still, I wouldn't say at the top of his game, but he's not coming down. He's still better than most running backs in the National Football League at his age. And, by the way, Sunday's his birthday. So if the game plan is the game plan, I feel confident. I just don't feel confident in the – I said it before. I think the Ravens coaching staff agenda, not a game plan. It's almost like they want to prove things more so than they want to go and take what the defense gives them.
Do you still feel pretty strongly about that? We talked a month ago, and that was a point that you made about Todd Monken and the Ravens offense and, you know, taking Derrick Henry out of the game in very questionable spots. And here we are, final week of the regular season. You are coming out of a game where Tyler Huntley had to play, but, man, Derrick Henry had as good of a performance as he's ever had.
Let me be crystal clear, because you brought up the wrong name. You brought up Todd Monken. I saw Todd Monken as an offensive coordinator. I saw him in Georgia. This is not Todd Monken. We've had the same problems with multiple offensive coordinators. We've had this conversation for years. This starts from the top. This is John Harbaugh. He's a wonderful coach. He's a winning coach. But I've never drank the Kool-Aid of John Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh is a product of a front office that is masterful, that is absolutely masterful. And when you are a chef, even if you're not the best chef, if you get the best ingredients, you're going to make a good meal. And there are better chefs who can make better meals, but it's hard to screw up a good meal when you have the best ingredients. Well, that's what John Harbaugh has been. He's been a coach operating, in my opinion, with the best ingredients, so it's hard to mess that up. I don't think their coaches in the National Football League committee, I say you win because that coach is going to outcoach you. I've never felt that way about Harbaugh. I wanted to take you back to the Super Bowl where Ravens fans were upset because the lights went out. And it's the conspiracy theory of the Ravens being up because the lights went out. Let me give you another way of looking at that. When those lights went out, the reason the 49ers came back is because the better coach had time to adjust. The better coach did. And a better coach put his team in a situation where they almost won that game. So that's how I look at it. I just don't. I'm not a believer that he is the coach that you say you win because of him.
Do you think he is coaching for his job on Sunday night?
No, I think that's ridiculous. I think if there's a decision that's going to be made on John Harbaugh, that decision has already been made. You're 8-8. You're 8-8. You mean to tell me because you went 8-9, now you can get rid of him? No. If you're going to get rid of him, that's already going to happen. Whether you go 8-9 or 9-8. You know, I mean, you go 9-8 and you win the divisional game at home and then you lose on the road, does that change things? Really? I don't think so. I think whatever's going to be whatever is decided with John Harbaugh, in my opinion, I think it's already been decided. We're either just finishing out the season and they part ways. And by the way, and I don't think you're going to fire John Harbaugh. I think there'll be a mutual agreement to part ways. Either mutually part ways or he's back next year. I don't think game 17, week 18 is the decisive factor for that. I just don't believe that.
I assume
that man has been almost two decades on your staff.
I assume that the fan base has had him on a hot seat for quite some time, but especially this season, because going into 2025, and maybe it was a bit of overrating the team, but at the same time, the Ravens, I believe, in the betting markets had as good as odds as anybody to win the Super Bowl, and here they are having to play a game for just a shot at making the playoffs with an 8-8 record going into week 18. So I can't imagine that the fans are very thrilled with how he's done as the head coach.
Let's go with the timeline. 2 years ago, you lose at home in the AFC Championship game. Last year, you lose it on the road in the divisional round. This year, you're fighting to get in. The arrow's not pointing up. That's for sure. The arrow is not pointing up. You're not getting better from where you were 2 years ago. So, you know, I don't know what more has to be done for us to realize that sometimes change is good for the sake of change. I'm sorry. I'm a believer in that. Sometimes you just need to shake some things up and move in another direction.
There's a lot of that conversation in Pittsburgh, obviously, how the last handful of seasons have gone, since it's been a lot of the same thing, losing in the playoffs. Now, when it comes to these matchups head-to-head, especially in the last 5 years, let's just say in the 2020s, Rob, it feels like, you know, more kind of jumping on John Harbaugh here, it feels like he almost outsmarts himself in these games against Mike Tomlin.
I would agree with you on that. I would totally agree with you on that. Mike Tomlin has had his number also in the past, what, 3 or 4 years. It always seems like Mike Tomlin is one step ahead of him in crucial moments. But you can say the same thing about Andy Reid, one step ahead of him in crucial moments. So that's the big issue with me. It seems like the better coaches normally are.
This stat I saw today from ESPN, so I will credit them over there. I didn't realize it was this good in favor of Mike Tomlin. Since 2020, Rob, against the Ravens as an underdog, Mike Tomlin's teams are 7-1 against the spread. They are 7-1 outright against the Ravens in these matchups since 2020. That's nuts to me.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is nuts, and to me, it's telling. Again, if you look at them against the better coaches, this is not that egregious, but you know the scale tips on the better coaches in the National Football League.
Is there somebody on the Steelers offense or defense that you've kind of gotten the feel that either colleagues of yours, you yourself, or some of your fans and listeners are worried about on Sunday night?
So you're telling me the last 8 times you guys have been underdogs, right?
Since 2020, the 8 games is underdogs.
Eight games.
Yeah.
So the answer to that question is no. No. Does that give me the confidence that I can say, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Ravens win this game? No, there's no – I'm sorry. I hope not to sound arrogant, but no, there's no one on your roster that scares me. None. DK Metcalf, if he's playing, it scares me because of the matchup. I don't know what Watt is going to be his situation for Sunday. I've not heard. Unless you have some information on that, he would scare me. But I don't know what his health status is. A punctured lung is nothing to laugh about. You can go from a puncture to a collapsed one. So I don't know his health status. Other than that, there's no one who scares me. I'm not saying the Steelers are pushovers, but If I were the coaching staff of the Baltimore Ravens, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I would say, go rattle Aaron Rodgers. Ravens pass rush is not the greatest, but that would be my game plan. Rattle Aaron Rodgers. Your defense, I would be run the ball. I would run the football effectively because I think that's how the Ravens could win. There's not one person on the Steelers staff that scares me.
Rob, I won't make you give an actual score prediction unless you want to, but just your feel for how this will go Sunday night in prime time and maybe who the X factor is, who gets the game ball.
The X factor is going to be Lamar Jackson. Let's be honest. I mean, with Derrick Henry's success, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to Canton. There's no doubt about it. He's going to Canton. But Lamar Jackson is the factor. If Lamar Jackson can play Lamar Jackson-style football, even if he only throws 20 times like Tyler Huntley did. Keep in mind, Tyler Huntley threw the ball 20 times and just had over 100 yards. Meanwhile, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers threw the ball 21 times and had like 250. You know, Tyler Huntley, I don't think, attempted a pass more than 12 yards. But I think maybe one. Lamar Jackson, on those same 20 pass attempts, is going to have 250-plus yards. I don't want him to throw the ball all around the field, but he is the difference maker in this game. I think the Ravens win an ugly football game on Sunday. Ugly not in the sense of it won't be fun to watch. Ugly in the sense of I don't think it's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. I think both teams, this is going to be your classic Pittsburgh Steelers AFC North game. I think if you didn't know how poorly these two teams played throughout the course of the regular season, if you didn't know, you won't know on Sunday. Because I think these two teams are going to play like two teams that deserve to be in the postseason. And I think the Ravens win a very close game.
Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Rob, as always, thank you so much for taking the time. Great stuff, man.
Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you, Rob. There he goes. Rob Long from Baltimore. Always a great view from the other side of things. A very real talk. Every time that we have Rob on, he doesn't really sugarcoat anything when it comes to his teams, when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. So that is always something that I enjoy. You guys had him on earlier this week, right?
We did on Monday.
Yeah. He's also somebody that I didn't love having to repeat him as a guest, but I did talk to him way back when before that first matchup of the season. He said, hey, make sure you call me back and we talk again before that game in week 18, because I promise you it's going to be for the AFC North. So I said, all right,
here we are.
I shot him a text yesterday. I said, Rob, you called this one about a month ago. Here we are a few games later. The AFC North is on the line. Let's chat about it. And he hops on with us. So another thank you to Rob Long for that. He has the feel that the Ravens win, kind of an old school looking Steelers Ravens matchup on Sunday night. What about you? I want to keep getting the vibe check from you out there. 30 minutes to go before the PM team takes over at 2:00. 412-928-9370 gets you involved. That helps you join the conversation. Let's go to Tim in the North Hills. What's up, Tim?
Yes, I am very pumped for Sunday night. I think I said all Steelers fans should be, but I do get down the dumps a bit every time I hear somebody say I want them to lose so we can rebuild and get rid of the coaching staff or whatever. I just find that highly insulting on every level. But anyways, I am tremendously pumped. I like the Steelers' chances with Aaron Rodgers. I know his receiving core is depleted, but his experience base, I just feel that we have as good a chance. And I think the fans have got to be a major factor in it.
Yeah, I think, Tim, and thanks for the call, it's going to be a good atmosphere. I mean, it has to be a playoff-like atmosphere. I don't see any other, any other reason why it shouldn't be. The only way that things go south in terms of the fan performance at the game is if it gets ugly early. If the Ravens go up on them by 2 scores in the first 10 minutes of the game, or they're up 3 scores midway through the second quarter, then yeah, it's going to get ugly. It's going to sound ugly in that stadium, maybe even to a point where the broadcast crew on NBC, Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, that they really can't avoid it. 412-928-9370. Jack is in Elwood City. What's up, Jack?
Hey, I think the Steelers definitely win this game, especially if it's an old-school AFC North style. That favors us. High scoring, I think we're in trouble, especially without DK. But for sure, we win it if it's low scoring.
What do you think as a score prediction?
I'm liking 17-13 Steelers, and I think the playoff field's wide open. I think if we get in, we can make it.
To the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I like the confidence there, Jack. I wish I had quite that much. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to put them that far. I'm not going to be able to put them in the Super Bowl anytime soon, unless there is some sort of drastic change or they find themselves another franchise QB. I mean, it'll just be cool to experience a home playoff game again. We as fans have not gotten to experience in full capacity a home playoff game for the first time since the 2017 season. Almost as long as the playoff drought has gone, that's how long it's been for us to experience a home playoff game. Yeah, they won the division in 2020. They got a home game. That was the COVID year, if you recall. I think they allowed, what, like 2,000 fans in the stadium that night, if that? So we haven't gotten the real fan playoff experience in this city since January of 2018. That was 8 years ago. 412-928-9370. Frank is next. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
All right. So I was thinking about this game all week. I really think we're going to lose by 2 touchdowns. I just don't think we're going to be able to have enough offense to move the ball much. And I think the Ravens are going to steamroll us. And it's going to be a surprise with their backup running back. It's going to be an X factor, that Mitchell.
Oh, Keaton Mitchell, Frank says, will be a big X factor in that game. He did have a long run against the Steelers in that first matchup. Mitchell this season, 339 yards and a touchdown. He does average almost 6 yards a carry. He's only run it 57 times. He was coming off an injury going into the season. So that's a little bit outside the box there from Frank and Sheridan. We'll keep taking your calls up until 2 o'clock, 412-928-9370. Coming up, we will also make our picks for Week 18 of the NFL season. I don't know if we have Joe's picks for the games that we want to pick. Hopefully, we can get them before the games kick off.